Shalom, we continue now with the Feast of Trumpets. This is from giveshare.org, and it's on their webpage, giveshare.org/holyday, that's H-O-L-Y-G-A-Y, /trumpet1, number one that is, .html. If you need to look up the text there for this, and we're at the bottom of that page as we continue on now from our program number one. We're continuing from program number one, going to Mark 7:7. And you already know this one, so we're just, and it seems like even Protestantism has caught on to it as to a Protestantism as opposed to the true believers out here. What a beautiful warm day on Yom Teruah, Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets today. It's not a new year. The chaplain there gave me with a basket of apples with honey. Honey and apples. And then he said, Happy New Year. Huh? I don't know. I don't really celebrate any New Year, but if there be any, it'd be in the first month, commonly March. So Mark 7:7. But anyway, it was a nice gesture, even though he misunderstands the feast days. Yeah, it's not a new year. Mark 7, and that's the way we are. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Well, that pretty well sums up his thoughts and actions there about regarding this feast day. Amos 8, let's go to verses 4 and 5 here now, specifically about what we're doing now on this warm 80-degree day here. Hear this, O you that swallow up the needy, saying, When will the new moon be gone, and that we may sell corn in the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat? Skipping. I will send a famine in the land of hearing the words of Yahweh. Hosea 2:8, going from Amos to Hosea. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold. She, meaning us, therefore will I return and take away my blessings. Whoops. I will also cause her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. So that's why, as a Catholic for 50 years, why I never heard of the Feast of Trumpets or Feast of Tabernacles. I only heard this expression, Hosanna Rabbah? No, that's not. Well, what do they say? Rosh Hashanah, I guess it is, and the Yom Kippur and so on. Those are the only, and Hanukkah and Purim, those are the only feast days you hear. Two of them are not even out of Scripture. Isaiah 1:11. To what purpose is the multitude of your offerings to me, saith Yahweh? Bring no more vain oblations. It is an offering of abomination unto me. Your new moon and Sabbath, the holding of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity along with a solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed seasons my soul hates. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 1:11-15. A sad. The phrase, your feasts, your new moons, your feasts does not necessarily mean that they were keeping days differently than Yahweh instituted, but that they were not Yahweh's feasts in the sense that they were not kept unto Yahweh, but kept unto man for vanity and pretense. I know someone like that. Even in me, I'm sure there's some of that vanity and pretense still there. He will burn it out. He's going to purge thoroughly his threshing floor. And, sweep the vat, make it clean. Or wash by the blood of the Lamb, by Messiah. Isaiah 66:23. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh. Then we read that Ezekiel 45:46, we already did that, opening the gates here on the new moon, trumpets, atonement are closely related. In another place, he wrote that the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Fub, were closely related too, for another reason. Well, that's the time of year when Messiah died for our sins, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Passover. Joel 2:15, we read this, set apart a fast, blow a trumpet in Zion, call a solemn assembly. Why? The day of Yahweh is at hand. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, for the day of Yahweh cometh, for it is nigh at hand. What should we do because of this nearness? Turn you even unto me, Yahweh saith, with all your heart and with fasting. And we go to Leviticus 25. 25 verse 9 over there, about the Messiah. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Messiah's second coming is likened to a Jubilee year, which he releases the world from bondage to Hasatan. He comes on the last trumpet, according to Revelation 11:15. So here we see that the relationship between the Feast of Trumpets, or as he calls it here, the Day of Trumpets, and between that and atonement, demonstrates that one of the first things that Yahusha does when he returns is to give liberty or jubilee to the earth, the year of Jubilee. Excuse me. Funny, they don't install pause and mic pause switches. There's no pause in there. Cat paw, maybe. The Day of Trumpets is a memorial, is the next heading we're reading here from giveshare.org. A memorial from the Hebrew word zikron, which means memorial, record, remembrance. Passover and trumpets are both feast day memorials. Passover reminds us of our exodus from Egypt, or exodus from sin, and the death of our Messiah. Trumpets is a memorial of the greatest event in history, the return of the Messiah to establish his kingdom. So Passover reminds us of the exodus from Egypt and the death of Messiah. Trumpets reminds us as a memorial, the return of the Messiah to establish his kingdom. And we saw there in the scripture in Leviticus 23, regarding Feast of Trumpets, it shall be a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and separated convocation. Exodus 12, and this Passover shall be unto you a memorial for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. Feast forever, etc. Numbers 10:10, also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, in the new moons, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the offerings of your peace offerings, that they may be for you a memorial before Yahweh. I am Yahweh. Yahusha 4:7 now, or Yahusha 4:7. That the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Malachi 3:16. Excuse me again here. What do they put in this water? Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance. Malachi 3:16. Then we go on to the part two of the Day of Trumpets, that is on the GiveShare website. So I've already got it up here. And I'm going to scroll down to the meaning of trumpets. And this is written by Alfred Edersheim, The Temple, Its Ministry and Services, 1950, Grand Rapids. Alfred writes, "Trumpets were used to signal Yisrael during their march through the wilderness to summon them to war, proclaim days of public rejoicing, and to mark the beginnings of their months." Numbers 10:10, every time the trumpets were blown, it was a public acknowledgement that Yahweh is Yahweh, He is King. Accordingly, in the Brit Kadashah, the New Testament, Newer Testament, Yahweh's elect will be summoned by the sound of the trumpet in the days of Messiah's coming. Not only the living, but the dead in Messiah, Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians. Also, the heavenly hosts are marshaled to war until the seventh angel or messenger sounds the last trumpet, and Yahusha is proclaimed King Universal, Revelation 8, 2, 10, 7, and 11, 15. Revelation. Do you all have that? Oh, pardon me, I'm still going there. Then we'll have a solemn time of covenant renewal from a guide to, I don't know if we'll read that or not, Rosh Hashanah by Rabbi Jacobs. Part of it. For you history fans. Okay, Revelation 8:2. I'd rather read scripture than, traditions. But, yeah, I disagree with some of that stuff, but not with the scriptures. Revelation 8, "And I saw the seven messengers which stood before Yahweh." They stood there, and to them they were given seven trumpets. And then they're sounding, "The seven messengers which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." There's the trumpets, there's the seals, and lots there to consider as we move forward to 10:7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, or messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the messenger which stood upon the sea and upon the earth." Then to 11:15, we keep reading, that says, "And the seventh messenger sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh, and of his son, Yahusha, and he shall reign forever and ever." 1 Corinthians 15:52, of course, or it goes along with that. Solemn time of covenant renewal. Joy and sadness are twins, and the closeness of these two are never seen more clearly than at the Feast of Trumpets. It's a solemn festival, but it is a festival. It is not unusual for men and women to change their lives under the influence of a stirring service, under the Ruach HaKadosh, the Days of Awe, which the Feast of Trumpets is the first of that. First day of the agricultural year, trumpets is also the time that Ezra read the law to the captives returned from Babylon in Nehemiah 8. So the festival is associated with personal renewal of one's covenant with Yahweh and a firm resolution to obey Yahweh's law. So ergo, their concept of making a resolution. It's not a New Year's, it's a Feast of Trumpets resolution. So skip down here a little bit. Some of the Jewish customs with meanings for us. Now, most of us are Jewish anyway, whether we know it or not. If you're in the northern 10 tribes or the southern tribe of Yehuda, unless you're Grecian. Elul, the sixth month, precedes Tishri, the seventh month. Jewish tradition holds that Moses went up on Sinai on the sixth month to receive the second tables of stone. He stayed there 40 days till the Day of Atonement, when he brought the law again to Israel. According to man's tradition, Jews read Psalm 27, verse 1, "Yahweh is my light, the brightness of his coming," 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "and my salvation, the Day of Atonement, which our sins are atoned for by the Messiah, Yahusha," Leviticus 16:34. It's all about the late summer festivals. "In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Referring to the Day of Tabernacles. The day of... The theme of Psalm 27 is about faith and trust in Yahweh, the desire to dwell in Yahweh's house. The Psalm 27 evokes a mood which is the purpose behind the solemn days of trumpets and atonement, an introspective mood. That means to examine ourselves as we read the word. How do we line up with it? The Jews also read Micah 7:19, which says in Micah, Yahweh says, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Yahweh will forgive. The Jews have a custom of going to a river and reciting this and other penitential verses. A custom that we might do on the Day of Trumpets is to remember our immersion, our baptism. It's not mikvah, I can't remember now. Oh, well, consider whether we have really buried the old self. Seek ye Yahweh, while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Psalm 55, implying that there's a time when it's easiest to seek Yahweh. The Jewish rabbis feel that the 10 days from trumpets to atonement are such a special time when men should submit themselves to severe self-scrutiny. Not self-infliction. That'd be wrong, but self-scrutiny in the effort to improve the quality of our lives. A Jewish custom during and after trumpets is to greet another with, may you be inscribed or sealed in the book of life for a good year. Stopping and considering whether or not you are in the book of life is a good lesson for us today in the Feast of Trumpets. Franz Rosenzweig, in 1929, or at least before his death, wrote the horn. No, he didn't say that. Let's see. I'll be there in a moment. He wrote, the horn blown on this Feast of Trumpets at the peak of the day stamps the day as a day of judgment. And that's correct. On this day, the individual, all his naked individuality, stands before Yahweh. Maimonides, the great Jewish teacher, summed it up, awake, you slumberers, from your sleep, rouse you from your lethargy, make search into your deeds and turn in repentance. Remember your Creator, who is Yahweh, you who forgot truth in the trifles of the hour, who go astray all your years after vain illusions, which can neither profit nor save you. Look to your souls and mend your ways. Mend your ways and actions, and let every one of you leave his evil path and his unworthy purpose. Seek the way of Yahweh. This is the meaning of life. Right now we're 15 minutes into this second part, third part trumpets. We're 18 minutes in, I think. And we normally go for an hour. I'm kind of wondering if we'll go less than that today on this podcast. Trumpets and Atonement are serious days of awe. Both Feast of Trumpets, it's Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets, and Yom Kippur are different in atmosphere from other Jewish festivals and also scriptural festivals, are therefore known as the days of awe. In all other festivals, the sprint is one of exalted joyfulness. Exaltation of the Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur, however, has no traces of joy, for these are profoundly serious days with a feeling of the heavy moral responsibility which life puts on all. That's a good thing that we don't need to really be involved in the world's affairs right now during the feast days. And so this is a big Sabbath, the Feast of Trumpets, the first... your first opportunity to seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. Psalm 35:15, all that fashions the heart of them all, that considers all their doings. And on the Feast of Tabernacles, judgment is passed in respect of the, latter rain, whatever that means. So, yeah, kind of moving on here. Let's see. Trumpets is known as the Day of Judgment, a day of remembrance. This is under the category of miscellaneous. Trumpet Feast of Day of Concealment. The only festival which falls at the beginning of the month when the new moon is still concealed. Well, it's still, no, it's not still concealed. We see the first crescent. Okay. Cain and Abel were said to have offered their offerings on the Feast of Trumpets. Jacob to have arrived at Bethel on the Feast of Trumpets, where he built an altar. Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, can... No, that's wrong. I'm reading from the GiveShare website. He's got his postponement theory here. You want me to read that for you briefly? It's just a short paragraph. He says, Rosh Hashanah, he keeps calling it New Year. Why don't they call Aviv 1 the New Year? They don't do, you know, they want to make a thing and celebrate. It says, anyway, sorry. It says, this feast day can never fall on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. This is the sacred calendar arrangement, so atonement can never fall on a Friday nor a Sunday. Thus, there would never be the possibility of having two consecutive days in which it is forbidden to prepare food and to bury the dead. He drawing for straws there. He's trying to make a point to prove that his postponement theory, that you can postpone Yahweh's feast days, but show me in Scripture where that is. Burying the dead? I don't know. You're going to have to do, I guess, pull the oxen out of the ditch there or something, the old oxen. Hopefully not. We'll just pray that it won't happen on the Sabbath day. And if it does, we'll deal with it then. But I'm not going to make up a doctrine that says we can change Yahweh's feast days because my oxen is over there in the ditch. I don't even own one of them. Isaiah 55, seek Yahweh when he is near. When is Yahweh near? During the days of repentance, of course. Well, he's always near when we are seeking him. When he's seeking us first, because he first loved us. That's why we do you ask for Yahweh's compassion and mercy. Be compassionate then upon your fellow men. They keep moving on then. 10 reasons why Yahweh commanded us keep the Feast of Trumpets. Yeah, let's try that then. The first reason is because, well, I would say because it's commanded. But he says, it's the beginning of creation, which the Pure One of Yahweh, the Pure One, blessed be He created the world and reigned over it. Just as it is with kings at the start of their reign, trumpets are blown in their presence to make it known and to let it be heard in every place. At the start of their reign, thus it is when we designate the Creator, may He be blessed as King on this day, for David said, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout you before the king, Yahweh. Boy, I'm not very traditional, am I? I just can't seem to get back into that old mire. Don't want to put a noose around my neck, a tight necktie, with an arrow pointing down, like, you devil. The Feast of Trumpets is the first of these days of repentance. It was the second reason. Third reason, to remind us of Mount Sinai. No, I think that would be a higher priority than third, but to remind us of Mount Sinai, the blare of the horn grew louder and louder. Exodus 19:19, and that we should accept for ourselves the covenant that our ancestors accepted for themselves, as they say, we will do and obey. They took a vow. They took an oath for Yahweh in Exodus 24:7. And we also agree with Yahweh to make that covenant that we will do. But Yahweh, help us. Help us not to fall and not to break His covenant. And that if you trace our lives through, you'll see, if you can make a graph out of it, our downfall. There's a downfall, but there's a consistency in our walk. Each time we go forward, we go up, and we stay out of sin as long as possible. Now and then we might fall in for some unknown reason, not contemplated beforehand. Another reason to keep the Feast of Trumpet, the words of the prophets that were compared to the sound of the shofar, as it is said, whosoever heareth the sound of the horn and take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Feast of Trumpets remind us of the destruction of the temple. Jeremiah 4:19. Oh, my spirit, the sound of the horn, the alarm of war. War. When we hear the sound of the shofar, we will ask Yahweh to rebuild the temple. Another reason. Remind us of the binding of Isaac, who offered his life to heaven. We should also offer our lives for the setting apart of his name, and thus we will be remembered by Yahweh. Then another reason, when we hear the blowing of the shofar, we will be fearful, and we will tremble, humble ourselves before the Creator, for that is the nature of the shofar. It causes fear and trembling, as it is written in Amos 3:6, shall the horn be blown in the, shall the shofar be blown in the city, and the people not tremble? Zephaniah 1:14, having a little trouble with my own name here, with Stephen or Zephaniah. Oh yes. To recall the day of the great judgment and to be fearful of it, as it is said, the great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, a day of the horn and alarm, a day of the trumpet, day of the trumpet and alarm. To recall the day of the great judgment and to be fearful of it, as the great day of Yahweh is near. Zephaniah 1:14. Zephaniah putting the accent on the last syllable, where it is Y-A-H. So we think of Yahweh first, even though it's the end of the name of Zephaniah. Another reason to remind us of the ingathering of the scattered ones of Yisrael that we ardently desire, as it is said in Isaiah 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great, trumpet shall be blown. He's got horn here, I don't know, that kind of seems a little less. And they shall come that were lost in the land of Assyria, and they shall praise Yahweh in the mountain, the separated mountain at Jerusalem. To remind us of the resurrection of the dead and the belief in it, the blessed hope. As it is said, all you inhabitants of the world and you dwellers on the earth, when an ensign is lifted up on the mountains, see, when the trumpet is blown, hear ye. Isaiah 18:3. All you inhabitants, you dwellers on the earth, when an ensign is lifted up on the mountains, see, and when the trumpet is blown, hear Yahweh's voice. And speaking of the Messiah, you know, if we were to disregard our blessed hope in the Messiah, who is our Redeemer, our Savior, the Lamb shed for our sins from the foundation of the world, if we were to disregard Yahweh, Yahusha the Messiah, then that takes all the fun out of dying. You know, dying should be fun if we're thinking about the eternal consequences in paradise to be with Yahweh in that new Jerusalem for 1,000 years and then thereafter forever and ever, as the government will be upon his shoulders and will increase, not decrease. Yes, we should have a blessed hope and not be sad, not be anxious for anything, but by prayers, fasting, repentance, by thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto Yahweh. The book of the Revelation is just, shocking us into reality here. And the Day of Trumpets is part of that. There are so many staggering problems in the world today. And yes, there is a solution. Yahweh is the solution. Yahweh's Word, the way of life, the way of living in Yahweh's kingdom, is the solution to our problems. Not a lorazepam pill, not, you know, some sort of anxiety pill or something. So Yahweh's plan in the first month in the time of Passover, so the first day of the first month, and then he's got his timing wrong here in Give Share, 50 days later. It's actually counting 50 days from the harvest. The first day of the seventh month, the seven, the number of perfection and completion, the first day of the seventh month is the Day of Trumpets, which will herald the return of Messiah, Yahusha, who will set up the kingdom of Yahweh and bring to an end all that is now wrong in this world. Trumpets will begin the great fall harvest, the great late summer harvest, during which time All of mankind that responds to Yahweh's call will be saved and become a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. It is time for those now called to let Yahweh's trumpet sound in our lives, striving to overcome our problems so that we can be in Yahweh's kingdom. And we just don't do this on our own either. We do it with the power of Yahweh, and to wit, Yahweh's Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of Yahweh. You know, so many people out there are just walking computers or machines, and they have no heart. I know of several people that are dear to me, and you could offer them a heart of flesh, and they, you know, wouldn't want it. They'd reject it. All we want is science and technology and success and the profit margin and efficient, most efficient, you know, and make, you know, buzzwords and make it all happen. Be successful in this modern world here. Well, there's some good things in there about hard work and so on, but that's not the first thing in our life. Yahweh's way of life, the halakha, to walk in Yahweh's way. There is great satisfaction in our end. Revelation 16, 16, great plagues are visited upon the inhabitants of the earth as each trumpet is sounded, ending with the seventh trumpet. We read earlier the seven last plagues, and including the battle of Armageddon. Trumpets in the scripture often are used as an announcement of war. Yahweh will fight a great war with the evil elements of the earth, beginning with the seventh seal in Revelation 8. And right Revelation 8, we find seven messengers with the seven trumpets ready to sound, which we read about 34 minutes ago. Although the sounding of the trumpets will bring bone-chilling, terrifying, and cataclysmic destruction and ruin to this world, there's also a joyful note. The heralding of the triumphal return of Yahushua Messiah as King of Kings and Mighty One of Mighty Ones. He will lord it all. He's going to be over all the lords. All right. With him, I don't know if there'll be any lords since Baal means lord, but with him he will bring his people who will reign and rule with him on this earth. The government of Yahweh will bring the wonderful joy, happiness, and peace that this world has agonized and longed for. The Day of Trumpets comes to fulfillment. As Yahusha returns to stand on the Mount of Olives, at this time the mount will cleave in two, and healing waters will flow east and west into all the world. Zechariah 14:4 and verse 8. Now, what's this feast about? The seven trumpets of Revelation. The seventh seal is the seven trumpet plagues in Revelation chapter 8. The first trumpet in verse 7, second in verses 8 and 9, the third trumpet in 10 and 11, and fourth trumpet in 12. Fifth trumpet is in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, and the sixth trumpet in the same chapter. Seventh trumpet, Revelation 15. First trumpet, a third of the trees are burnt. The second trumpet, the sea creatures die. Third trumpet, the fresh water is poisoned. In Revelation, what did I say? I think I said 8. Growing a little tedious here. Fourth trumpet, the sun, moon, and the stars are darkened by one-third. And did I say one-third of the fresh water was poisoned? Not all of it. The fifth trumpet, you know, our water isn't that good anyway, is it? Fifth trumpet, the bottomless pit is opened. The locusts, scorpions, people on earth are tormented. Sixth trumpet in Revelation 9, the four messengers are loosed. An army of 200 million, a third of mankind, are murdered. The extras. Seventh trumpet, the seven last plagues are open there. So that was the seventh seal, open the seven trumpet plagues in Revelation 8, 1 and 2. And this list here, this concise list, is found almost near the bottom of the page there of giveshare.org about trumpets. actually in part two of Trumpets. So opening up the seven last plagues, you have the boils and sores, the sea becomes blood in the second plague. The fresh water becomes blood, the sun's heat becomes red hot. Not just, what's his name, sold the book and all, the global warming guy. Better that I don't think of it today. Fifth plague is darkness, then the Battle of Armageddon is the sixth. Thunder, lightning, and great earthquake and great hail in the seventh last plague. And then Yahusha returns in Revelation 19:11. The ultimate fulfillment of the Day of Trumpets as the kingdom of Yahweh is established. You know, as you read through those prophetic scriptures here and verses and passages and the different trumpets and seals and so on, is that it's a wonderful thing that the scripture proves itself, that it is true when these things happen. You know, that we could say that we're coming up to Revelation chapter 8 right now, that we're somewhere in the calendar, we're just about Revelation 8. Some say a different point, that's okay, you know. And then they went into the Q&A, the Trumpets, Feast of Trumpets quiz, or Day of Trumpets, with a matching. There you have your memorial remembrance as number one, the ram's horn, the first day of the seventh month, first day of civil year, new moons, Tishri 1 through 10, what does that mean? And the return of Messiah. Then you match them up with one of three separated times. The answers are at the bottom here. Feast of Trumpets are not Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Teruah should be there. Shofar, the meaning of the Day of Trumpets. Days of Awe and Zikron, Leviticus 23. You got fill in the blanks. Leviticus 23. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a separated convocation, a blank blowing of trumpets, and holy, a pure what? Pure convocation. So that's fill in the blanks there. It has six of those. And then there's the general questions, going back to Zephaniah chapter 1, Psalm 98, and Book of the Revelation, Jeremiah, and so on. So it's a fairly good Q&A. Not real in-depth, you know, but it's interesting. And you know, who would put together a Q&A anyway for the feast days but the late Richard Nichols? And Shirley is still living at this time, I believe. So, that's... Thank you. That was a good message there. And by the way, if you're reading that website, GiveShare, their Missouri address is not correct, because Richard passed away. Now, there's many other websites, too, that we could turn to for the Feast of Trumpets. We might go to... let's see, here it is. Well, okay, let me get on my computer here for a second. And I'll go to Moons, under Religion, then Moons. We have the Truth of Yahweh. Now, they're using the W. They don't know any better, I guess, but there it is. truthofyahweh.org/moon, which, come on, gives us our new moon report there, the table of new moon reports. Once again, that's truthofyahweh.org. Then just click on to get to the moons there. The new moon was sighted in Australia, so there at this hour, it's 5 o'clock here right now, but in Australia, it should be about 8 o'clock. A.M., even though they might, you know, I don't go by the international date line, but if they did, they consider themselves tomorrow morning, I think. So it would be past, well, anyway, Arizona, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, and Virginia did observe the new moon. I'm sure Jerusalem is in here somewhere. Now we can also click in here in this website in places to get around to the main menu, and then that'll take us to the Feast of Trumpets if we search around. on the Truth of Yahweh. There's many, many good websites, some that, you know, less than that, that are only fair, and others are probably totally wrong, but read the Word first, you know, before you try that out. But, well, let's all say a quick prayer now, and we're not going to be dismissed from this day, because we still have 2 hours left, sunset around 7 p.m. here, this time of year, on the seventh month. And I'm coming, honey, hang on. I'm coming here in a second. So let's just pray right now, since we'd... Yeah, can you just wait a second, please? Let's, yeah, here in the studio doing the Feast of Trumpets, and we thank you for joining us. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in prayer to you all day long during these feast days, and thank you for your forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the judgment that it is coming, and I even appreciate that, having the fear out there, Yahweh, that now you've prepared a place called Gehenna. Tartarus, Gehenna and Tartarus for those who rebel. And, you know, and then your love, that you rescued us from that, that we don't have to face those, you know, gnashing and weeping of, you know, and so on. So I thank you, Yahweh, for what you've done for us. Touch us and make us whole in Yahusha's name. Thank you for the beautiful feast days, the opportunity to keep your word in feast days, and to walk with you. We look forward to your second coming. You come quickly, we pray, Maranatha.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry.